Hello, hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Power Up in Game. My name is Michael, and as always, I'm joined with my main man, Taylor. Taylor, how you doing, buddy?
That's a complicated question. Guess I'm doing all right. We got a very Festivus-like episode of Power Up in Game here today, where we're going to be discussing how the gaming industry has disappointed us here lately.
As usual.
This is a venting episode. This is, if you're looking for positivity, like, those were the last two episodes we've done. Our favorite games of all time. This is the one where we just let it out. All right. We were allowed to vent here about some stuff going on because, yeah, gaming's been a little. They've been on one this past week.
It's been a very disruptive, if you could say, to a lot of creative lives and careers.
And it's a weird time to say it, but we do need to do it a little bit more. I just want to say this is a podcast from thenerdstash.com. Be sure to check out thenerdstash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. Whether it's lists, guides, opinion pieces, you name it, you can find it over on thenerdstash.com. And with all that out of the way, let's get into our disclaimer. We just want to say that you can find sources for all the topics we're going over today down in the description of this episode. We did that to give out proper credit, and if anyone wants to read further about the topics we cover. Lastly, we are just two dumb idiots who love video games and love talking about video games. These are just our opinions. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of anyone on our team or at the Nerd Stash. That's going to be very imperative here today. just need to make that very clear. We'd love to hear your thoughts on everything we're going to discuss here on this episode, but please just try to remain respectful. With that disclaimer out of the way, here are our topics of the week. Escape from Tarkov's horrible week destroys game's reputation. Our first story this week is a bit of oldish news, but it kind of goes with our running theme of the game industry can really be disappointing sometimes. Anyway, you've probably heard about the controversy surrounding Escape from Tarkov, so we're not going to do an entire deep dive on it. If you haven't heard about this thing, here's the basics. Escape from Tarkov devs Battlestate Games announced a $250 Unheard Edition upgrade. Yes, you heard that right. $250. This upgrade will add a PvE mode and more, all exclusive to the Unheard Edition, and were seemingly filled with pay-to-win features. That would have been ridiculous enough. However, when you consider there was also another edition of Escape from Tarkov called Edge of Darkness, which costs $150 and would receive, quote, free access to all subsequent DLCs, this gets even more wild. Escape from Tarkov's lead community manager, who goes by AppleZor on Discord, initially responded to criticism by saying, quote, it ain't DLC. It's a unique feature of the new edition added, end quote. Quote, DLC means additional downloadable content. PvE is a feature and a game mode. Just because you all want it to become a DLC, it wouldn't mean it is one. It's featured game mode for the addition of the game, end quote. Truthfully, the situation only snowballed from there, with Battlestate Games digging a deeper and deeper hole for themselves. Game director Nikita Buyanov, I think that's how you pronounce that, would ultimately react with several updates on Reddit. Here is one of the most recent and relevant posts at the time of this recording, which is, what's today's date, Michael? May 9th? May 8th.
Today is the 8th.
So here's the post. Quote, greetings. Let me continue my feedback on the current situation. First of all, I would like to say that I'm very sorry that fans and the game community in general are experiencing these feelings. Unfortunately, I somehow did not foresee the fact of such a reaction, and now I have drawn conclusions for my future decisions. Now, I will briefly summarize the main points. I really want to talk about that first paragraph, but we'll get to it. One, about PvE access. We decided to just open it up for EOD owners for free. But we will do it in waves. As I said before, we don't have server capacity right now. We will start this process as soon as possible. We also decided that we will add mod support for PvE modes, or for the PvE mode, after release of the game. About the Unheard Edition, we will not remove it. We want to keep the option for those who want to support the game more, but we will balance items, perks in this edition, as well as we will provide more rewards for those who upgraded with the old price. New EOD perks will be balanced too. We will remove prioritized matching option to keep everyone in the same spot. And we will add more unique stuff to highlight the EOD version in general. We will provide the final list of the new EOD perks ASAP. We continue to work on patches, new content, events, and the game release itself, no matter what. Thank you for your time, love and hate, and thank you for your increased attention to the current situation. End quote. Just going to go ahead and get my general thoughts out before I throw it over to you, Michael. This has got to be one of the worst decisions we have seen a popular game make in a long, long time. In terms of gaming controversies, I actually think this might be worse than the day before, which is absolutely bonkers considering what happened with that game. And we thought, oh, this is as bad as it gets. And then Escape from Tarkov was like, hold my beer. But before we get too much into it, Michael, what are your thoughts?
You know, this is something, well, not exactly, but it's kind of something that Star Citizen kind of gets away with. They always coming out with some wild multi-$100 bundle or whatever. And I fear that's the route a lot of AA indie games are going to go. Like, they're going to be just as bad as AAA studios. They're going to try to see how far they can go to milk their customer base. Because there is a lot of people out there who simply want to support indie studios. They don't want to support EA or Ubisoft or even Xbox and PlayStation. They want to support the smaller studios who are doing creative things with games, innovative things. And I'm down for that, but unfortunately, the double-edged sword to that is that you are going to get studios that are going to take advantage of that and try to see how far they can take it. And this is just the newest, latest example of that. So my thought is, I'm glad I don't play the game. I follow a VTuber who loves the game, absolutely loves it. And the way he plays it, it looks interesting. So there is definitely a very dedicated fan base behind that game. And just for the developer, like the top of the developers, I highly doubt the producers really wanted this. I really think this is just like really from the very top. They want to see how far they can go, and they didn't care about the reputation. All they know is people love our game, people will support it. There's only so much you can do, man. And I have no respect for that decision. And I'm glad players are actually pushing back against this and letting them know that this isn't okay. This isn't cool. Another game did that and got buried with bad press. Helldivers 2 just ran into that problem. When you go against your fan base, I'm sorry, they're not like mobile gamers who are just going to pay whatever, pay a little bit of pieces. They want to support your game and get the game. And Helldivers 2 and this game, Escape from Tarkov, is proof that if you go against your player base, like your hardcore player base, there is a chance that you'll pay the price. And that price is your reputation. We saw it with, who is it? Something Red. They made Witcher.
CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red, thank you.
Fake I don't know why gamer I was you bird. Are. You couldn't remember the name of a developer right off the top of your head. God.
I remember the logo. I just know there's a red bird. but yeah, CD Projekt Red, as much fanfare as they have, people love them. I love them. It took just one game. Them screwing up with Cyberpunk just completely wrecked their reputation.
Now, I will push back a little bit here because you're right, but with Helldivers and with Cyberpunk, both developers did regain that reputation. With Helldivers, it's been an insane turnaround too. They were getting all that pushback, and then they came back and were like, you know what, we're reversing our reviews that we review bombed you with, which never really happens, which really goes to show the dedicated player base to go like, hey, y'all did right by us, we'll do right by you. We'll reverse our...
But I'm not even putting that on Arrowhead. They actually supported their players bombing the games. Like, yeah, please do. Like, we don't support this either. We don't know why Sony is doing this thing. Please let them know that it's not cool. And they did. So I wouldn't put Arrowhead in that same thing. That's definitely a Sony thing, but definitely not Arrowhead. Arrowhead actually had their player bases back, except for like that one community manager who was like, I don't care, go get a refund. Like, most of Arrowhead was like, no, yes, please continue to review bomb the ever-living crap out of this game. That sends a message that we are trying to tell Sony, but they won't listen to us about. So Arrowhead, I wouldn't put them in the same as, you know what? I also, you know, you're right. CD Projekt Red doesn't completely deserve that because the developers themselves were like, yeah, this game isn't ready. Please listen to us. It's a, once again, the people at the very top who's making these dumb decisions and they're ruining the reputation of their companies. So, yeah, that's a bit of the same thing.
And plus, with both of those, their reputations were saved.
They and were again, saved eventually,
with yeah. Arrowhead in surprisingly fast fashion. Like, it takes years to do what Arrowhead did in a weekend.
Yeah, granted, it's only because Arrowhead really did have their players back. Was like, yes, please, please keep doing what you're doing. Instead of them being like, oh, man, no, guys, let us explain why this is actually a good thing and why you should actually support this. They're just like, nah, we don't like it either. This is stupid. Our game is running just fine. Like, players are having fun. We're having fun. Like, Arrowhead is having fun developing that game and making new stuff and taking players' feedback. So, yeah, Arrowhead, I think they got their reputation back quickly because players realize, oh, no, this is Sony. Arrowhead is on our side and we're on Arrowhead's side. So, yeah, I think actually I would put that close to, I forget another developer who did No Man's Sky.
Hello Games.
Hello Games. What's wrong with you? The most simple name. And I can't, I don't know, man. The most simple game and a simple name, and I can't remember that. Halo Games, they got theirs back because they're like, yeah, we screwed up and we're going to work towards making it big. They didn't make excuses. They're like, yeah, no, we screwed up. We're sorry. And to make up for it, here's some free stuff. And they just kept going.
They're in nearly 30 updates at this point. So, yeah, man.
Man, that's ridiculous. Totally right. Unheard of.
And we're about to get into Helldivers 2 and that controversy here in a few minutes. So, I'm kind of upset I have more to say about this story because that was a perfect transition into our next story. But I do agree with you. Like, this is such a asinine decision from the Escape from Tarkov developers, Battlestate Games. And what really boggles my mind is I'm not somebody who gets caught up in like the wording of things, but whenever you have something like a $250 edition of a game and you're over here arguing about what a DLC means, and then you go as far as to say in what is loosely labeled as an apology, I mean, not really. In this post here, it goes, first of all, I would like to say that I am very sorry that fans and the game community in general are experiencing these feelings. That's not an apology for you doing stupid things. Like, that is just basically, I'm sorry you got offended that we asked you to spend $250 on a PvE mode edition of the game. Or, I'm sorry, let me make sure I get this right here. A PvE upgrade addition to the game, among other things.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, Taylor. If they did, like, I don't know, a PvE bundle, kind of like, we're going to add this new feature, but it's a paid feature. And I'm doing air quotes here, paid feature. If it was like $20-$30, do you think people still react just as bad as they are right now?
Hell no. They would have been received a lot better. Like, it's $250. You and a buddy decide to get this $250 edition. That's $500 you're spending on this game. That is fucking ridiculous. For a game, by the way, that's not final. It's in beta.
And you see, that's what gets me, is that it's not a full game. And even then, you can get PvE, the big thing that they sell you is that you can play it offline. You can play the PvE offline. So it's always online. And you have to pay $250 just to get a feature that is actually a basic feature.
Yeah, don't call it DLC. Pretty much
every game.
It's a feature.
Yeah, don't call it DLC. It's a feature. It's a feature that's in pretty much any game that's 70 bones now. And it gets ridiculous. Like, even Black Ops. Remember when they were like, we're just going to do multiplayer only? Even they stepped back and was like, yeah, you know what? We're going to give you this this so-called single-player story feature.
That had some missions that were included. Like, it wasn't story missions. It wasn't a real
story.
Yeah, it was as basic bare bones as could be.
Yeah, but even then, they were like, yeah, we're going to give you this PvE, this story mission. It's such a basic feature that it makes you question now. It's like, okay, if I'm spending $100, if I'm spending $70, $60, $50, why isn't the PvE being an update? Why isn't it part of a big bundle? Instead of doing that, just like, PvE is coming to everybody, but for an extra $20 or something, you get new skins or some crap. I'm not really sure what kind of DLC they do in Tarkov.
Yeah. And that is very important to note, that both of us are not Tarkov players. So don't think that our opinions here are coming from, we know this game inside and out. We are looking at it from a very outsider perspective. But even then, from that outsider perspective, you can see the bullshittery going on here. Right? Like, this isn't, you guys are just looking at it the wrong way. Here's what they really mean. No, it's bullshit. They're asking $250 for an edition of the game that, by the way, Star Wars Outlaws just got in hot water over, that somehow that's more expensive than the Star Wars Outlaws version. Which is hilarious. Yeah, Star Wars Outlaws is right now going like, thank God they're not talking about us anymore.
Yeah, and that's just because of one mission. This one is a whole mode. So it's like, like you were saying, like earlier, the NFC continues to disappoint us. They keep trying to find new ways to give us less, but making us pay more. And now it's even hitting the AA studios. And it's just like, man, you really can't count on any studios unless they're a small studio who's trying to make just enough for the next project. If you're really going for, we're only trying to make money, like Star Citizens or Tarkov, you're in for a really bad time, because they're going to try to find a way to screw you over. And this is just further proof of that.
So after the huge Escape from Tarkov controversy, you'd think that there's no other gaming company would make any boneheaded decisions for at least the next week. Helldivers 2 didn't get that memo. It was initially announced that Helldivers 2 would require for all players on Steam to link their account to a PSN account. This caused a lot of backlash online, and for a deeper breakdown of the whole thing, I linked two great articles from the Nerd Stash that do just that in a pretty entertaining style. Anyway, to make a long story short, Sony ultimately backtracked on the decision and posted the following on Twitter X. Quote, Helldivers fans, we've heard your feedback on the Helldivers 2 account linking update. The May 6 update, which would have required Steam and PlayStation Network account linking for new players and for current players beginning May 30th, will not be moving forward. We're still learning what is best for PC players, and your feedback has been invaluable. Thanks again for your continued support of Helldivers 2, and we'll keep you updated on future plans. End quote. So this is just one of those weird situations where there's a massive gaming controversy that manages to actually have a happy ending. Michael, what's your thoughts on this? You kind of talked about it in the last story, but you got anything to add?
Yeah, I want to put in there that we are aware that when you bought the game on Steam, there was a note on the side that said that it would require a third-party account. And the reason it didn't happen at launch was because there was issues that they were having. So when I found out, I was like, okay, that isn't bad, but you can see that everything's working just fine. So why are you doing it all of a sudden? Especially after I found out that so many players where the game is being sold at doesn't have PlayStation Network. Like they can't make an account there. It's not available in their country. And I was like, oh, wow. So surely there's going to be like a different version that they'll be able to play. And no, Sony took that away from them and it was no longer being sold. It's like, that's got to be anti-consumerism. There's no reason for that. So I'm just bewildered that Sony will look at this and be like, yeah, you know what? Let's sell this game, knowing full well we're going to try and force PlayStation Network on these players just so they can pad out their numbers. So at their next meeting, at the next financial call, they can say, we've grown PlayStation Network by such and such many numbers, by 250,000, all because of Helldivers. It's like, geez, man. Instead of just trying to make a better system to make PlayStation Network more widely available, you rather just say, yeah, screw everybody. We're going to force this on you. And there's nothing you can do about it. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, you got to do that with Xbox, got to do that with Ubisoft and EA. Yeah. And I've complained about that too. Plenty of people have. I hate that in order to play a Ubisoft or EA game on my PC Game Pass, I have to have Uplay installed. I have to have EA Origin. That's why I don't play Ubisoft and EA games. Have you ever tried to use Uplay and EA Origins? They're garbage, they're horrible launchers. There is like that with Overwatch 2. If you want to play Overwatch 2, you have to use a Battle.net launcher. For Call of Duty, you have to use a Battle.net launcher. It is terrible. NetEase or Nexus, one of those two, they have their own launcher. It's so stupid what these companies are going through just so they can privately take your data, because that's all it is. They're just collecting data and padding out their numbers. This industry is getting terrible, Taylor. So my opinion on this is Sony should have just foregone the whole PlayStation Network thing and made it a bonus. Hey, if you link your PlayStation Network account with us, we'll give you a PlayStation cape for your Helldiver. That would have been cool. And we're like, oh, I already have PlayStation Network. I'll go ahead and link it. And anybody who didn't be like, oh, well, I guess I can go ahead and get a free cape. Or I guess that's what they're called. I don't think that's what they're called in the game. But yeah, you know, you could have just had a really cool PlayStation blue and white or silver cape that you would award your players for attaching their PlayStation Network accounts with their Steam accounts. But no, Sony, because, you know, that's being creative. That's being smart. That's marketing. I'm sorry about that. I should think like a suit. Something, something, something. Give me your data so I can make more money. Something, something. Pad out my numbers for PlayStation Network at my next financial calls. That's all they were thinking about. They weren't thinking about the players. They weren't thinking about how PlayStation Network can actually benefit players. They were just thinking, what would our shareholders like to hear? And I'm sick of it, man. I'm tired. What about you, Taylor? How you feel about it?
I'm feeling like I'm going to be you in our next story because I'm going to have the long-winded rant. Yes. No, I'm going to come at this from the dark side. And really just look at it as a averted disaster that could have really ended up derailing the success of Helldivers 2, which has been one of the greater successes of 2024. So I'm glad that, you know, Sony reversed track here and, you know, Helldivers 2 very popular still and everybody's still loving the game and the developers. And I think that also goes to show that Arrowhead has created such goodwill that even with this, that, and granted, it's a very specific circumstance, and you outlined that in our last story, like what the specifics were, and it's really more of a Sony issue than anything. But even then, there's a scenario where the goodwill is ruined, and Arrowhead Studio is just like every other developer, publisher out there that you know, says one thing and does another. And while it still isn't perfect because, you know, this story happened, at least it ended very well. That's all I'm going to say. I'm glad it ended well for not only the players, but also for Arrowhead. And yeah, people can just go back and play in the game that they've been really enjoying. And Arrowhead can go back to just developing the game and making the game better. Because really, at the end of the day, that's kind of what it should be, right? It should be, hey, we're trying to make the game more fun. And if we make it more fun, gamers will invest more into it and we will make more money.
Taylor, no, buddy. You got to think like a suit, man. Come on. Stop thinking about the players. Stop thinking about the company. That's what you need to, man. You need to focus on those shareholders, man.
I guess I'm just not thinking like a suit, but let's move on to our next story, which is also not a great story. Layoffs have been an alarming trend in the gaming and overall tech industry this year. Sadly, that trend continued when Microsoft announced that Tango Gameworks, notably known for Hi-Fi Rush, Arcane Austin, known these days for Redfall, and Alpha Dog Games, known for the mobile game Mighty Doom, would be shutting down. Roadhouse Studios is also said to be affected by this radical shift, as the studio will be absorbed by ZeniMax Online Studios, who works on Elder Scrolls Online. Arcane made the following announcement on Twitter X. Quote, "Today it was announced that Arcane Austin will close and development will not continue on Redfall. To everyone that has supported the work from our Austin studio over the years, thank you. Thank you for spending time in our worlds and making them your own. Arcane Lion will continue their focus on immersive experiences where they are hard at work on their upcoming project, which is Blade. Redfall players who purchased the Hero Pass as part of Premium Biteback Edition or the Premium Biteback Upgrade will be eligible to receive the value of the upgrade. While there will be no further updates, Redfall's servers will remain online for players to enjoy," end quote. As always, with any story regarding layoffs, we hope everyone impacted is able to land on their feet and continue to make a living. Michael, just going to cut to the chase because I'm tired of talking. Xbox has had a turbulent year, to say the least, and I'd go as far to say they've had a horrendous year so far. What's your take on this, man?
You know what, Taylor, you and I have been back and forth, but not between each other, but like just what comes with Xbox. Like you and I, we've had episodes where we're like, yeah, man, I don't know what Xbox is doing. And there's other episodes where we're like, okay, we believe in Xbox. They got something planned. Let's just wait and see. Man, like you, Taylor, I'm pretty sure that's how you feel. I'm tired. I'm tired of defending Matt. I'm tired of defending Sarah. I'm tired of defending Phil. You and I,
you're talking about specifically here for the context of people who don't know, Matt Booty, Sarah Bond, and Phil Spencer, three prominent members over at Xbox Game Studios.
Yeah. I'm tired, man. There's nothing else that we can say that could be like, no, we have hope, you know, let's just wait. Let's just see what they got. You know? Yeah. We were like, well, the games are going to come. They got all these studios, you know, they keep saying that they seen the new games. They got stuff coming. We just got to wait. It's coming. Hold on. Wait. And, you know, we've been doing that for so long, man. I'm just kind of like, I don't care anymore. I don't care what Xbox has planned. I don't care what they have coming. I'm not excited for any of the Xbox showcases. You and I were kind of excited. We were excited for the Bethesda showcase because we wanted to see Starfield. And even then we were like, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. But we weren't really all that hyped about what was coming from Xbox other than Starfield.
Yeah.
So when it comes to announcements like this, you got rid of Tango Studios, which was your most creative studio yet. Because I loved Hi-Fi Rush. I think you and I gushed about that one. And it's just like, why would you get rid of the one studio that was actually making cool looking, interesting, fun, innovative games? But some reason you still have the Coalition, which has done nothing with Gears. You still keep 343, despite the point that fans keep going on about how 343 is ruining Halo. You got rid of Alpha Dogs, your mobile studios. which I guess Xbox isn't dedicated to mobile games or something. I mean, they tried doing mobile games with Doom. They tried to do mobile games with Gears, with that Funko Pop crossover. Remember how quickly that got shut down? And it's just like, I don't understand what Xbox is doing. There's nothing to defend them on. You got rid of the one studio that you had that was making games. I guess you couldn't find a way to microtransaction the hell out of anything that they were working on, because I'm pretty sure they pitched you plenty of cool looking games. And on top of that, Austin, the team that was doing Redfall, Arkane Austin, even they didn't want to work on that game. They wanted to pull back and turn it into something completely different. But for some reason, I guess Xbox saw, oh no, this has great live service potential. And then the game just came out. And man, for anybody who hasn't listened to this podcast before, I was excited for Redfall. I'm eating crow. I look like an ass because, man, I was all in for Redfall. I was super excited. I was like, this is it, Taylor. This is the Xbox exclusive we've all been waiting for. This is going to be the cool turnaround. Now that they got Bethesda, now that they got Arkane, this is what Xbox needed. Let's go. I'm ready. And then Redfall came out and it was trash. It was absolutely awful. And it came out with 30 frames. They had to put a sticker on their box, on the physical box, saying that the 60 frames per second update was going to come at a later date, which I guess that's not going to happen anymore. And it's just ridiculous, man. I don't understand what Xbox is doing. They can't handle these companies well. They've already proven they can't, and they just keep adding on. And I'm just wondering, how much more damage can Phil and company do to Xbox? Like, what's left? I don't think there's anything to be excited about with Xbox. All they do is release accessories. And I'm sick and tired of seeing a new Xbox controller, but not a new Xbox game. But I will say this, it is time for Phil Spencer to go. We tried defending him, but you know what? The Phil Spencer era is over. It's been nothing but microtransactions and nickel and diming. I'm tired of Phil Spencer. It's time for him to go, man.
So I want to get, because there's a lot I want to get into. So I want to get into the context of why I have been defending and why I will stand by defending Phil Spencer when it comes to what he did for the Xbox One. Don't want to make it revisionist history and be like, oh yeah, Phil Spencer's always been shit for Xbox. Don't think that's been the case. I think what he did with the Xbox One was take a sinking ship and make the best of it. Really do. What Game Pass is, Game Pass is amazing. So, I'm not saying, whenever I get into all my notes here, because there's a lot, I'm not going like, oh yeah, Phil Spencer has never been good at all. No, there are some true benefits to what Phil Spencer has done for Xbox. But when you look at some of the other things, the notes regarding Xbox right now, here's just a few things I have listed out in bullet point form, so if it doesn't sound as coherent, that's the reason why. Xbox has a summer showcase planned for June 9th, most likely also coinciding with the announcement of the next Call of Duty. We're talking about this story instead of the summer showcase story. That's, yeah, great idea, Xbox. Great idea to do this within a month of your summer showcase. There are still tons of questions surrounding Xbox's long-term strategy and how much they truly value being in the console race over a hub for streaming. Like, some people, including myself, still believe Xbox's future lies with being more akin to Steam or the Epic Game Store, and being a hub for those other things, instead of being like PlayStation. Microsoft bought ZeniMax Studios, or ZeniMax Media, Bethesda's parent company, for $7.5 billion. Microsoft also bought Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. My very simple question to both of those points, and it's a rhetorical one because I'm going to bring it up later, outside of Call of Duty and Game Pass, what does Microsoft have to show for these purchases? Aside from the purchases, going to their established IP here, Halo Infinite reportedly cost Microsoft hundreds of millions of dollars, only to release with a mixed reception. Going to Bethesda, this is where it gets a little incoherent. Starfield was Bethesda's first new IP in 25 years. It has been a relative success, but also released to a mixed reception. One of the few bona fide successes the company has had over the last few years, a shadow-dropped indie game called Hi-Fi Rush from Tango Gameworks. They just dropped that studio. I mean, it's absolutely wild. This comes days after the whole Helldivers 2 Sony controversy, something Xbox could have actually benefited from with good press. This also comes weeks after the Fallout show gave Microsoft so much good press that actually pushed people to play Fallout games, which Microsoft now owns. And there's also been rumors that the next Fallout is being prioritized at Xbox/Bethesda, which is a really smart move, if that's the case. Like, there's several highly anticipated games in development that were clearly announced way too early, with no real idea on when they'll release. You got State of Decay 3, Perfect Dark, which we could really talk about if we wanted to, because there's reports about that, Fable, Elder Scrolls 6, Gears of War 6, The Outer Worlds 2, etc. Don't have definite plans on any of those games. Blizzard seems to be killing Overwatch 2 with horrible decision after horrible decision. Everything that happened with Redfall, Michael kind of went over that. You could look up the insanely dumb development cycle that was Redfall. You also got former Blizzard boss Mike Ybarra's comments about the option to tip more money to studios for games, and then his recent comments about the layoffs, which basically amounted to, hey, Phil is just as heartbroken about this as anyone else. Which, there's a time and a place to say those words. Maybe not as soon as these layoffs happen is the time to go, hey, you know the guy who was in charge of these layoffs, he cares just as much as the people got laid off. Not the time. You know?
Yeah, this time where it's like, I know you guys are upset that these creatives are gone, but think about the multimillionaire suit and how he feels. That think about his feelings and his family.
In charge of the company that fired them and most likely had to sign off on it. Like, yeah, dude, I'm sure he acts, because the way that Phil Spencer talks, it's just me from an outside perspective. I do think he genuinely cares. But at the same time, there's a time and place to be like, hey, you know what? Phil Spencer, he cares about his employees. Maybe today ain't the day.
Yeah. I do want to bring that up, that you and I have like given so much praise to Phil Spencer that you can tell gamer Phil Spencer, because we really do think that he really is someone who
and
cares
robot
about video games.
Phil Spencer. There's two
and
this Phil
robot
Spencers.
Marketing suit Phil Spencer. Yeah. And so like for anybody who's just tuning in, who thinks that we're just completely against Xbox, we're not. Like we are supporting. No. We're fans of Phil Spencer.
And that's why I also wanted to clarify at the beginning that it's not just blind, like, revisionist history. Phil Spencer's always been bad for Xbox. But my whole point of the incoherent notes that I just read out here is just me going through the last few years of Xbox and essentially going, what do you have to show for any of this? And as much as I do like what Phil Spencer did with the Xbox One, and I like some of the vision that he's had with Game Pass specifically, you are looking at things like this. Yes, Redfall was a failure. But to essentially go like, yeah, Redfall was a failure, Arkane Austin, they're gone. Oh, Tango Gameworks, they made a game that actually was a huge success for you. Oh, they're gone. Why? Like, what? As much as I've been an Xbox fan and supportive of Phil Spencer as the head of the brand, these last few months have been nothing short of just pure incompetence to me. Not just from Phil, from everybody in the lead position at Xbox. They have spent at least $75 billion. That's with a B. $75 billion on massive acquisitions. They have several IPs that have defined or redefined genres. I am talking about Halo. I'm talking about Elder Scrolls, Call of Duty, etc. As simply a spectator, I am struggling. I'm struggling over here to find anything worthy of justifying their purchases or their investments, other than a few exceptions like Hi-Fi Rush or Pal World, which is still an independent studio who's behind it, and possibly even Sea of Thieves comeback, I guess, on PlayStation, because that's been a huge success. So kudos to them there. Halo Infinite was a messy launch, and it was a messy product, despite there being some genuine flashes of greatness. You and I talk about its slick gameplay all the time. I'll stand by that. It's so smooth. Starfield, while I really enjoyed Starfield, had a mixed reception, and it was not the award winner Xbox probably wanted it to be. Redfall, well, Michael, you know how that turned out, buddy. The Outer Worlds and Grounded worked out, so I guess we can add those to the list of successes. So other than Game Pass and a few exceptions, I mean, what's the reason to have an Xbox? Xbox is just a shell of its former self at this point. And for me, it's not just like these two big studios, these four studios that have had layoffs. To me, this is just the last straw in a year that has been Xbox eroding its, I don't want to say goodwill, the last bit of trust I have in it. To whereas now I'm at the point to where I'm just going, kind of like you, it's not even I'm actively upset. I'm more so upset that they've spent $75 billion and I don't know why. They spent $75 billion and we're looking at the games that we've gotten to play out of that, and I struggle to find anything worth that purchase because I'm like, the quality of games you've gotten have not been worth that in the slightest. I'm sure money-wise you've gotten some out of Call of Duty, but Call of Duty is doing all the heavy lifting in that Activision Blizzard deal, which is a no-shit statement, but still.
Yeah, out of that $75 billion, I really do think it was just for the name brand, just to grab up the IPs. It was probably cheaper, oddly enough, to do that than to put $75 billion in new IPs and risks. And unfortunately, that's what this industry is going. It's going towards, it's like the movie industry. You know, it's like the movie and TV industry. More familiar things. Less risk, less original stuff. And it is getting to the point to where, yeah, we could only rely on indie studios in both movies and video games. And yeah, man, I agree with you. Xbox has shown nothing out of that $75 billion. And they won't show anything for another few years.
And want to point out, the two publishers that they acquired, look at the names. The name brands, what you were just talking about, what they acquired, they have nothing to show for that outside of Call of Duty. Overwatch has gotten worse. They haven't really done anything with Activision Blizzard, period, outside of Call of Duty. Because everybody at Activision Blizzard seems to be working on Call of Duty or Overwatch. Or Diablo. Diablo 4 definitely wasn't a hit. I'll say that.
Oh, don't forget Toys for Bob, that used to be Activision Blizzard, yep, separated themselves from the studios, and they might be working on a game with Activision Blizzard as their own independence. So maybe a Spyro, because I know they want to do remake the Spyro trilogy, just like they did with the Crash Bandicoot games. It seems that's the only way you can do. You had to break off from them.
Yeah, and with Bethesda specifically, we got Starfield. That's it. Like, the other problem I have here is, I said it earlier when I was reading out my notes, they've just announced games. That's what they've done, and that's what's really frustrating. As somebody who has been a fan of Xbox for so long, and you're seeing game after game disappoint, and then you're seeing a hype train of, oh man, they announced Fable. Oh man, they announced Perfect Dark. Oh man, they announced State of Decay 3. Oh, are they going to announce Gears of War 6 at the next summer event?
Hey, yo, State of Decay 3. Oh my goodness, I forgot all about that. What the hell happened to Decay 3?
What's the point of any of these announcements if by time, for one, it takes 10 years for the game to ever come out, or, you know, for us to even hear about it again? And two, whenever it does come out, it's in a lackluster state. And this isn't to come, I need to make it very clear, it's not coming from the place of, oh, I'm a PlayStation fanboy. No, I play Xbox. I play Xbox primarily. This is why it's so frustrating, because I'm sitting here going like, this should be better. I'm seeing Sony put out banger after banger with exclusives. I'm seeing Nintendo do the same. And yes, both of those companies have problems of their own. We just talked about Sony having an issue with PC, and they need to really get better with that. That's something Xbox is actually pretty good at, for the most part. But when it comes to making good games, Xbox has failed time and time again, and it's really annoying to see a story like this, to where multiple studios are getting shut down, and I'm sitting here going like, dude, Redfall sucked. Even then, I'm still looking at everything else and going, why, after the one flop of Redfall, are you cutting ties with Arkane Austin? Why after, and I don't know if this is true, I should have looked it up right before we recorded, how many people from Tango Gameworks who worked on Hi-Fi Rush are still there at the studio, regardless if the team is still there or not. It's still the name that made Hi-Fi Rush one of the few successes you had, and you're shutting that down. It's so asinine, and like I said, it's just, it's incompetence. Alright, so this has been an episode. I'll say that. Probably our most toxic episode that we've done in a long, long time, but as I said probably a few times in this thing, I think we needed it. So, let's get out of here, man. Let's talk about what we're working on and where can people find us. Michael, what you're working on and where can the people find you?
I am working on a couple of preview videos, and I'm also going back into streaming finally. I know I keep saying I'm going to do it, but it is finally going down. That. So, you could see that pretty soon. I keep saying it. I know. I keep saying it, but I finally have something going down for myself. So, can't wait to do that.
Between you saying you're going to go back to streaming and Drew saying he's going to post more on social media, I'm not sure who repeats themselves more on this segment.
Yeah, I got to beat him to the punch.
Ironically, I repeat myself every single time this segment happens, because you can find me on Discord, the link for which is in the description of this very episode. You can also find me on Nerds Talk Movies, where we talk about various movies and television shows. And you could also find a podcast I edit called Longbox Hunters on TNS Network, where Drew Garrison and Tristan Ben talk about various comic runs. So we got a whole lot of content over here at TNS Network that you can check out. Lastly, if you're looking for more in the world of gaming, movies, television, check out thenerdstash.com. We got lists, we got articles, we got guides, you name it, you can find it over at thenerdstash.com. I want to thank Michael for joining me. I want to thank anyone for listening in. We will be back next week with more gaming news. Hopefully it's better gaming news.
Yes, hopefully in better spirits.
See you then.
Yeah, hopefully better spirits.